It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The family of the late Penn State football coach Joe Paterno and other plaintiffs are suing the NCAA, accusing the organization of intentionally defaming and commercially disparaging them through the imposition of sanctions against Penn State. The sanctions resulted from the child sexual abuse case of former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. Paterno was fired in November of 2011 after charges were brought against Sandusky and questions arose about how the university handled a past allegation against Sandusky. The NCAA levied sanctions against Penn State immediately after University President Rodney Erickson signed a binding consent decree with the NCAA and after a report put together by former FBI Director Louis Freeh. Later, the Paterno family issued its own report questioning the findings of the Freeh investigation. One of the experts the family relied on is former U.S. Attorney General and Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburgh. He joins us by phone from Washington. Dick Thornburgh, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning to you.
You say that the Freeh report's conclusions and those of the NCAA are based on flawed evidence. What are some of the specific aspects of the Freeh report that you take issue with?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to realize that they're bragging about or highlighting the fact that they conducted 430 interviews and allegedly examined some 3.5 million documents is worth very little when you look at the actual reliance of the report on interviews and documents. The interviews, virtually none of them were undertaken with respect to the people most involved in the alleged wrongdoing. And with respect to the documents, only 30 of them proved to be useful, and none of them were written to, or this is emails written to, or received by Mr. Paterno. Moreover, there was a change in the computer system in 2004 that made most of the email trafficking before that date unavailable. So there's pretty flimsy evidence here. The take from all of these highly vaunted interviews and document reviews was minimal. Once again, there's a large dose of speculation and conjecture as to what conclusions were reached by the Freeh report.
Now, for his part, Mr. Freeh has defended his work. He has said emails and contemporary documents from 2001 show that four of the most powerful officials at Penn State, including Joe Paterno, agreed not to report Sandusky's activities to public officials. In your estimation, what did Louis Freeh not do correctly or not substantially in his report?
Well, that finding is simply false. There's no evidence whatsoever of a conspiracy entered into by these individuals, and I think it's really hard to sustain that finding when you look at the actual evidence. He relies on conjecture about what certain emails meant, and when you look at them in great detail, they simply don't support the findings that he came up with. And this is not unusual in this report. As we said, it's deeply flawed in this respect because it's more of an advocacy document than it is a fair and objective finding about what went on here.
Is there a problem with relying on emails as evidence, especially when, as we understand it, there are plenty of people that say that Joe Paterno never actually used email himself?
He did not. That's an actual fact. And the cherry-picking of emails by Mr. Freeh is really reprehensible in the form of a reliable investigation. So I think the bottom line conclusion here is consistent with our characterization of this as a rush to injustice. The rush was prompted by the high-profile nature of the case and the fact that expectations were high. But in the case of Mr. Paterno, they took this course: fire him first, investigate later. And that is not the way a system that's based on fairness and due process should proceed.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is former U.S. Attorney General and Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburgh. Governor Thornburgh, how should the NCAA have handled the Penn State investigation, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, they should have examined the free report. They didn't do that, obviously. They just took it lock, stock, and barrel and imposed these unprecedented and unwarranted sanctions on Penn State. And that is part of the complaint that we've filed against the NCAA, which is in a lot of hot water over the way it's been handling these situations in a number of other cases as well. But the fact of the matter is they should have done their own investigation. Rather than, if they had read the free report, they would recognize it as an advocacy document and not an impartial objective finding. And they, their bylaws call for them to conduct a review and report of their own on any time allegations of wrongdoing are received. They didn't do that here. They took the free report, and that's why the integrity of the free report is so much at issue here, because everybody relied upon it. The board of trustees at Penn State, the NCAA, in each case, without giving it the kind of review and careful reading that a document as important as this was requires.
In addition to the institutions you mentioned accepting the results of the free report, in the court of public opinion, there are many people who seem to have accepted one of the key assertions of the free report, that Joe Paterno willfully concealed evidence that Jerry Sandusky was a child predator to avoid bad publicity. How do you, as others have put it, unring that bell?
It's very difficult, and that's why we continue to press this case in the public eye as much as we can. The simple reading of our report points out the misleading nature of that finding. Joe Paterno did not conspire with anyone. There was no concern about the football program. There was a clear determination to find the facts. Let me just discuss the two incidents in particular that have received the most attention. In 1998, an allegation was made of misconduct by Jerry Sandusky. It's not clear whether that was ever reported to Paterno, but in any event, it was investigated by law enforcement officials, and they found no basis for charges. 3 years later, in 2001, Mr. Paterno received a rather cryptic report from one of his assistants, Mike McQuarrie, and told McQuarrie that he should report it through appropriate channels within the university, which Paterno did himself. There was no effort to suppress, and there was no motive to suppress this, because Joe Paterno simply didn't care much. He didn't like Jerry Sandusky. He had told him earlier that Sandusky was not going to succeed him, so there was no love lost between the two of them. Now, look, I got to make one thing clear, that the Paterno family and us as counsel hold no brief for Jerry Sandusky. His action was reprehensible, harmful in the worst possible way, and he deserved every bit of the sanctions imposed upon him. But we're looking at the byproduct of this is, as you say, a view among many in the public that the assertions of the free report, and I'll quote them here, in order to avoid the consequences of bad publicity, Paterno and others repeatedly concealed facts relating to the Sandusky child abuse. That's simply not true. There's no basis in the record for it. And we've got to try to unring that bell.
Yesterday, a federal judge threw out Governor Corbett's lawsuit against the NCAA over sanctions against Penn State related to Sandusky, calling the governor's argument a Hail Mary pass that that easily warranted dismissal. In light of this, what chance does the Paterno family's lawsuit have?
Well, our lawsuit is based on an entirely different set of facts and laws. The Corbett suit was an antitrust suit, and our lawsuit, the lawsuit brought by the Paterno family, has six counts involving breach of contract, interference with contractual relations, disparagement, conspiracy, defamation, a whole string of matters that were never raised in the Corbett suit. What we are basically doing is pointing again to the inadequacy of the free report as a basis for action taken by the NCAA. To rely on a report that we find deeply flawed and a process that we labeled rush to injustice is simply an unbalanced way of looking at this matter. And we do not put a much stock in a report that is an advocacy report as against an objective truth-seeking report. And that's what the free report ended up being.
What is the Paterno family looking to gain from all of this?
Simply fair treatment. Joe Paterno was not treated fairly by Penn State in the free report and by the NCAA. He's no longer here to defend himself, but his family has taken up the cause and enlisted many folks to try to help them out, people within the Penn State community, members of the Board of Trustees, former football players of Joe Paterno, and a lot of Pennsylvanians who are really quite concerned about this. And people are taking a second look at it. Bob Costas, in his fair and balanced treatment of this, I think indicated that he saw a lot of the flaws that we identified within the free report. And Phil Knight, the president of Nike, has made it clear he changed his mind. Either when the free report came out, he was fully supportive. Now he's read our report and considered it and changed his mind. And others have done that, too, on the Board of Trustees within the official family. It's a tough, tough battle, as you pointed, but it's one worth taking to try to restore the reputation of somebody who did so much for Penn State in his 61 years there.
Former U.S. Attorney General and Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburgh, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Glad to do so. Look forward to talking to you again.
Coming up, after a hiatus of 4 years, the Point State Park Fountain will once again be up and running in time for the Three Rivers Arts Festival. We'll learn about the history of the fountain and the park. Then, from water fountains to falling water, we'll hear about an opera about visionary architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Later in the program, we'll take a ride along the Gap Trail and the Wonder Boys explore one of the mysteries of Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.